Right, Parashas Bamidbar. So one of the main things in this week's parasha is the counting of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so the Jewish people are counted, and the Sukkim give us the total of all of the different tribes. So you start off with there, with the first pasuk there, the tribe of Reuben, Kudem, Matei Reuben, Shishavav, Amelav, Chamesh, Meo. It's 46,500 in the tribe of Reuben. In the tribe of Shimon, 59,300. The tribe of Yehuda, 74,600. And then later on in the parasha, Levi is separately, and Levi's count is done separately because, firstly, they're split up into different families, Gershon, Kahath, and Merari. The three tribes of Levi, three families of Levi have different tasks in the Mishkan. And because the count is done differently, they are counted from 1 month. Everyone else is counted from when they're 20 years old, and Levi's counted from 1 month. And that makes it all the more fascinating. Because if we look at the number of the tribe of Levi, it is much lower than any other tribe. The pasuk here says, "Called Kudei Alevim Asher Pokam Moshe Aaron Al Pi Hashem LeMishpachosom Kol Zochem Ben Chodesh Malah Shnayim VeEsrim Elef." All of the numbers from 1 month up were only 22,000. So if you think about it, not only is it lower, it's less than half, or even a quarter, to almost larger tribes. But also, seeing that they were counted from 1 month old, you would have expected, if anything, for their numbers to be larger rather than to be smaller. Yeah.
It's funny. It's, I guess, the elite. They really are the elite, the ruling class, the small.
Gosh, well, they're not the ruling class.
I know they're not the ruling class.
Serving class. But you would have expected, for that reason, if anything, that you would have expected them to be bigger.
No, it just reminds me of, as I said, the rule. I don't know. I just think it's...
Okay.
Because in a way, they were the elite. They may have been the servants, but to be a servant of God, as Jews, we are closer to God by being servants to God. So yeah, they were even closer because they were direct in his service, and therefore, I guess they were sort of an elite.
It's Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
You'll never let that down.
No. So you're right. They were definitely, they're on a higher level. They're put on a pedestal. They're serving in the but nevertheless, we see their numbers are less, right? So, yeah. So the question is why? What happened? What went wrong? What's the explanation? So the Ban asked this question, and the Ora Chaim, who we usually explore in this shir, he gives an interesting answer. We're going to have a look at his answer, and then we're going to go back to Ramban and see what the Ramban's answer is. Kol Pekudei Alevim, says the Ora Chaim there, the first paragraph. Ramban Zal, the Ramban. Now remember, Ramban Nachmanides is a Rishon, which means he's one early commentator. He came a long time before, about 300-400 years at least, before the Ora Chaim was writing. So therefore, the Ora Chaim often quotes him and discusses his answer. Ramban Zal, the Ramban was astonished, and he questioned something which is fitting to question. Like you said, Josh, the Levim are the beloved of God and the ones who are closest to him. They didn't sin in the golden calf. And they weren't in the plague that came after that. And they weren't involved in the ones who were killed or the ones who had to drink the waters of the Sota. All of the efforts of the golden calf. And therefore, how was it that their numbers were smaller than all of the other tribes? Their numbers from 1 month to even half of the smallest of all of the other tribes. And if you can be the Levim from 20 years old, they won't even be a third or a quarter of the other tribes. So how could it be that the tribe of Levi was so much smaller? That's the Ramban's question. Now let's go. Now he the Ora Chaim in the middle, I've put it in the appendix at the back of the source sheet, he discusses the Ramban's answers at length. So you can look at that. We're not going to have time to cover all of that. But let's have a look at his answer. What is the correct answer in my eyes? All of Shevet Levi behaved in the same way as Amram. Amram, Moshe Rabbeinu's father, who sent away his wife because of the decree of Paro to throw all the boys into the Nile. Right? We know that there was a Miriam who actually convinced Amram to get back together with Yocheved, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was born. But besides for that, Amram, who was from the tribe of Levi, had decided that it wasn't right to have children if the children were going to be killed. V'atam, and the reason, l'tzad shahayu mu'unogim, because they were still more sensitive or delicate, v'lo nishtabdu, and they weren't enslaved. Lo nomis levovam kol kach liros netiyim u'shlochim bayor, so therefore their heart wasn't taking it, seeing their young ones thrown into the river. K'maaseh ish Yisrael, like the other Jews, Hashem itzad ha'shibud v'ol ha'avoda, because of the enslavery, the slavery and the servitude, huzol v'hukol be'enehem u'belibom, it therefore was cheapened in their eyes. Life had become belittled in their eyes. There is yaladeya b'chem be'or, to see their children thrown into the river. In fact, we know that the rich people would give birth in the fields of a mechilos aret and underground in tunnels. Asha'ein adam nichbad, but a person who has got still the self-respect. They weren't enslaved. They couldn't bring themselves to act in this way, to do this so lowly. So he says a fundamental difference between their experiences in Mitzrayim. We know that Levi wasn't enslaved. They weren't part of the slavery. And therefore, says Ramban, almost like a sociological phenomena, it's almost sociological that a person who is enslaved becomes very, very insensitive to life, basically. And therefore, the rest of the Jewish people would be willing to continue having children. They would, even if the children were going to be killed, they would have children in the fields and do whatever they had to do to hide them. It wasn't something that anyone would do under normal circumstances. But Shevet Levi, because they hadn't been enslaved, they couldn't bring themselves to do this, and therefore they separated from their. He continues, "Bezeh lecha ha'os, ki Amram shalach az ishto." This is the sign. This is the proof that this is true. Tuch hakosu loydia zadova shegam ba Amram loyigid hakosu ba inyan ela mehaskolas ha'inyan noda. And even with when it was talking about Amram, the pasuk doesn't tell us. Clearly, right? All it says, "Vayikach ish as bas Levi, ish mibeis Levi as bas Levi." It says that a person from the house of Levi took someone, a daughter of the house of Levi. It's not clearly stated in the pasuk that Amram separated from his wife. Why? Lelamed al kol shivta yotza, because this teaches us that the entire tribe separated from their wife. He wasn't the only one doing this. It was nothing out of the ordinary for the tribe of Levi to have separated from their wives. But Amram was like the rest. Zuhi sibas miutam, and this is the reason why there were less of the tribe of Levi. Im ein gediim ein tioshim. No billy goats, maybe is the right word, young goats. Ein tioshim, then there are no rams. Etc. Even though we find that Amram did go back together with his wife. Ein lilam imenu shekulam echziru. It doesn't mean that everyone else did. But only him that had prophecy that he should get back to back together with Yocheved. Okay, let's skip now to the next paragraph. But just to summarize so far, so what he said is that the entire tribe of Levi behaved in exactly the same way as Amram, and they in fact all separated from their wives, and therefore very simply because they weren't having children, therefore when the tribe of Levi are counted at this stage, then there are far less of them. Continues by asking why they did this. B'im Toma, the next paragraph says, "Arachaim, you could ask, Lama Shevet ben Torah Yasemiyot Piriyah v'Riviyah. Why would this Shevet, this tribe of the B'nai Torah, the learned ones, the teachers of the Jewish people, why would they lessen their mitzvah of Puravu, of having children? How could they do this?" He says, "Shedonu ba, maybe they decided, they judged that this was correct. Laman lo nigel l'rik v'lenele l'be halah." This is a phrase taken from Yeshaya that we use happening as well, in order that they shouldn't toil in vain, meaning they shouldn't toil to have children to bring them up, and those children would then just be killed. The Kayotim Azem Otsinu Shamu is similar in Tanish Shosu Lashamish Mitosa Vishnaz Ra'avon, that in times of famine, a person is forbidden to have children. Agam Shish Menias Piriya Verivia, even though he's withholding a mitzvah of having children. Vedonukum Okeinat Sad Kilui Habonim HaZachorim Nimnu'u Kol Ika. They said similarly, because Pharaoh's decreed to destroy, to wipe out the male children, the boys, we're not going to have children at all. Me'ata, now, Adraba Asa, Shemimahim Nes, Shinisha Rumeh Mispazeh. at least this number that remained, Hashem made a miracle. And later on, after they also were back to their regular family life and fulfilled the mitzvah, they became even more fruitful than the other tribe. So according to the Ramban, this was a decision Shevet Levi made, according to the Orach Chaim, a decision that the tribe of Levi made. They said that this is not the time to be having children, and therefore, in the same way that during a time of famine, where there's a time of distress and sorrow, a difficult time for the Jewish people, so similarly in the Mitzrayim, they decided that it was correct to separate from their wives.
Surely it is the time to still have children when the Jewish population is being killed, when it's being threatened, when the whole point of what Pharaoh is doing is to exterminate it to an extent. Why would you just give in and not have children?
Correct. The truth is, this also bothered me. I didn't find anyone talk about it, but it bothered me on two counts. There were two things that I didn't understand. The first thing I didn't understand about this is your question, that surely you should still have children. Now, to answer that, and you might say, you know, why? What's the point of having children that are then going to be killed? On the contrary, actually, you're just bringing children.
When the Levites, they weren't subject to the same rules as the rest of the Jewish people, would their babies still killed?
That's a good point, a good question. But it sounds like, right, that was from what he's saying, even though they weren't enslaved, but their babies, the boys would still have been killed. So therefore, that maybe you could say they made a decision that if we're just bringing children into the world who will then be killed, we're kind of enabling power to kill them. It's not the right thing to do. But the question that I had about that is that there's a general principle, which is we learned from King Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu HaMelech sees in prophets going to have a son who's going to be a wicked king. He's going to be a king of Israel who's going to lead the entire Jewish people away from God. And because of this, Chizkiyahu decides he's not going to have any children. And the prophet comes to him, and the Navi says to him, "Bahadi kamshid rahman alamalach. What have you got to do with the secrets of God?" Meaning, you have a mitzvah to fulfill. Your mitzvah is to be fulfilled here and now. What will happen in the future? That's up to Hashem. Hashem will decide whether he's a good person, a bad person, etc. That's the future. You have to look now at what is incumbent upon you to do. So my question was, if Chizkiyahu HaMelech, even though he knew his son was going to be bad, and he was like, huge, a very, very wicked person, his son. But nevertheless, he was told, "You've got a mitzvah to do." So here as well, isn't it a similar case with the tribe of Levi? Mm-hmm. They could have said to themselves, "We don't know what maybe we'll leave Egypt, right? Maybe we'll go out of Mitzrayim. Who knows what will be in the future? We can't decide now. We have to do our mitzvah, and whatever will be in the future will be." That was kind of the question. That was the question that I had on the Orach Chaim. I'm afraid to say that I don't have an answer. I did look around to see if anyone else asked this question, but.
It does sound like they lacked a bit of Munna. Not the.
Yeah, no, I understand exactly. That's what it sounds like. It does sound like that, and so it needs a bit more, a bit further explanation. This answer, yeah.
It's a very practical answer to the issue. Whereas I was always like perceiving it the other way round, in as much as Hashem blessed the other tribes to being fruitful and multiply because of the persecution, and the Shevet Levi didn't have to go through that, so therefore they just went according to the natural course of business.
Good. So that answer that you're giving is the answer that the Ramban gives. Let's take a look at the answer of the Ramban. That's his answer.
Says the Ramban.
Tam vayedav Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai. We're getting 4 lines down, okay? Can you see 4 lines down in the Hebrew at least? V'hinei lo hayu shevet halevim. In the English, I think it's actually the beginning. It says in the English, the tribe of Levi was not like all the other tribes, okay? But in the Hebrew, it's 4 lines down. V'hinei lo hayu shevet halevim k'shashvotem. The tribe of Levi were not like any of the other tribes. V'ben chodesh v'mala lo hayu rak esrim v'shnaim elef. There was only 22,000 who were over a month old. We've been Shloshim Shana, Kulan Shon is a lot. If you're over 30 years old, there was only 8,000. They didn't reach even half of another tribe of Israel. They could have the smallest. They weren't carrying the Oren yet. Kedushim Achanem, that they may be killed because of not treating it properly. Meaning, one of the reasons he's implying, what he's saying is there's an implicit answer to the question coming to say is wrong, which would be, you could say, that the reason there were less Levim, because they had a very hazardous job. Being a Levi, if you did things wrong, carried the kalim utensils in the wrong way, or you went into the Beis HaMikdash at the wrong time where you weren't supposed to, then you would be killed. So you might have said that that's why there were so few of the tribe of Levi, because a lot of them had been killed in their service, or getting, if they got their service of the Mishkan wrong. On that, the Ramban says they hadn't yet, right? We are still prior to the time when the Levim had done the service in the Mishkan. Now, the Mishkan was already built at this time, but it was just literally sort of just inaugurated. So therefore, there wasn't time for them to have been killed. How could it be that the servants and the pious, the righteous ones, and the blessed ones of Hashem could not be like the rest of the people, as blessed are the people? Oh, says the Ramban, his answer. I think that this supports that which our sages taught us. That this tribe of Levi were not enslaved in Egypt, but avodas parech, and with a hard back work. Yisrael, who the Egyptians embittered their lives, but avodah kosher with hard work. And as Hashem said, kedei lema'atom, to make them less. That was the purpose of Egyptians. Hayakodesh baruch hu ma'aba usam. Therefore, Hashem increased them against the decree of the Egyptians. As the pasuk says, just as the Egyptians afflicted them, they multiplied. It says that the people became very great and mighty. Hashem said, look, let's see who wins. You, the Egyptians, who want to wipe out my people, or me? Of a shevet Levi, but the tribe of Levi, how you poem for Robin Gederach Kol Ha'aretz, they were multiplying as usual. And therefore their numbers did not reach the other tribes. Okay? We'll stop there because he gives another answer. He gives another answer in a minute. But to stop there, says the Ramban, a beautiful answer, like Haley said before, which is that in fact the tribe of Levi multiplied according to the normal rate, and that's why the number was as low as it was. But all the other tribes, because tribe of Levi had never been enslaved, but all the other tribes who had been enslaved, they got a special bracha from Hashem, just like they were afflicted. So Hashem made them more fruitful. Just like they were afflicted, so Hashem made them more fruitful and their numbers multiplied. I heard a nice idea this week from Rabbi Elimelech Biederman, who is a Rav and somewhat of a Maggid. You know, a Maggid is someone who kind of literally travels. Not Rabbi Pesach Kron, travels around, tells stories, gives drashas. So he does that and lives in Yerushalayim. And he said that a chassid once came to someone called Rav Shloim Kervzvil, a great Hasidic master. And he says to him, he shows him a page of the Gemara, says, now, when a person has sorrows, a person has suffering, he should always be the Simcha. And he said to him, he said, Rebbe, explain. I don't understand this. It doesn't make any sense. I have sorrow. How am I meant to be the Simcha? The Gemara says I should be the Simcha. I should be happy about it. There's nothing to be happy about. And he starts listing all of his sorrows and telling him, the Rebbe, that makes no sense. How am I meant to be happy? And the Rebbe says to him, let me ask you something. He said, when a beggar, a schnorrer, goes to a person and he asks him for money, and the person says, can I have 5 shekel change? 5 shekel change. He said, then the person knows that he's going to receive. He says, then if he goes up to someone and he asks him for money, and the person says, can I have 20 shekel change? So then he gets excited. He knows he's going to receive 50 shekel. And if the person says, can I have 50 shekel change? He knows he's going to get 100. He's even more happy. And if the person asks him for a $50 change, then he's over the moon because he knows he's getting a $100 bill. And Mishlonka said to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem only wants what's good for us. Everything that happens in our lives is ultimately for the good. Sometimes we have suffering, sometimes we have sorrows, we have difficult times, but that means Hashem is asking us for the change. That means Hashem wants us to give him the change in order that he can give us the biggest donation that we've ever got in our lives. So he said that the Rebbe Elimelech said that's the same idea that this Ramban is saying, that the Jewish people, you would have looked in that time, if you go back to Egypt, can you imagine? And all of the people in all the tribes who are enslaved, they're looking at this tribe of Levi who are sitting there, reading, they're learning Torah, and they're looking at them and thinking, this is so unfair, look at us, we're persecuted, we're going to be wiped out, there's going to be nothing left of us. And this tribe of Levi is going to be the biggest, they're going to take over, because they are not enslaved, and they don't have all the Torahs that we've got. And you come here and you see that the opposite is true. That the tribe are enslaved, they become the largest, the most fruitful out of all the tribes of Israel. And Shevet Levi, who aren't enslaved, they don't have that sorrow, they don't have the difficulty that they gain as just Shevet Levi as normal, and the numbers are far, far smaller. That is the answer of the Ramban. Good.
It is interesting how suffering, I think, brings out often the best in people. Not always, but the harder people are pushed, the more disciplined they become.
Yeah, and here it's saying not only in terms of bringing out the best in people, but also in terms of the
one
Hashem, meaning in terms of the Siyata Dishmaya, in terms of their help, the divine help from Hashem, so it's doubled because the person who had the sorrow, right? He finishes off, just to end off with the last line of the Ramban, which is another reason. The Ramban says, Ulai Hayazem Kaas Hazakin, which is the top of the third page. Ulai Hayazem Kaas Hazakin Alehem. Perhaps this was because of Avinu's anger at them. Now, if you go all the way back to the book of Bereishis, Shimon and Levi, they got in big trouble because they attacked the city of Shechem. They killed him. Yaakov says to them, what are you doing? You didn't ask me permission, didn't talk about this. And therefore, he says to them, what's going on? He's very angry with them. So he says, maybe the reason why my tribe of become so fruitful is because, didn't multiply, because of Yaakov's curse that he gave them, because he was angry with them. Shimon, even though Shimon was now large, had many, many people in their tribe, this might be Knisasa La'aretz. Nevertheless, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, then they became less. And Levi did not decrease in the plague, meaning later on it kind of evens out. The tribes of Shimon and Levi both have the same, approximately the same numbers of 22,000, but they both have far less people than all the other tribes. So the Ramban says maybe this was because of the anger of Yaakov. Anger manifested itself that they didn't get the same bracha as all of the other tribes. Now, if you have time, if you'd like to do some extra reading of the Shabbos, in the appendix, I put the Or HaChaim, the reason why he rejects both of these answers of the Ramban. Okay, he doesn't like either of these answers. That's why he says his own answer. Okay, but what we've seen, just to summarize so far, what we've seen to conclude is the three different answer question. When you look at the different numbers, why is it the Shevet Levi's numbers are so much lower? Would have thought the opposite. They're the ones that should have the biggest bracha of all the tribes. So the Arach Chaim says it's simply because of the way that they separated from their wives when they were in Mitzrayim. All the other tribes, they become accustomed to hardships, and therefore they would have children, even though they might have been killed immediately, and even though they had to go out in the field, etc. But nevertheless, they were prepared to do it. But Shevet Levi weren't prepared. The tribal Levi weren't prepared to do it. That's the Arach Chaim's answer. The Ramban's answer is that, on the contrary, it's the other way around. Shevet Levi were the normal numbers. They were the ones who stayed the same, normally, having children. And all the other tribes, because they were enslaved, they got a special bracha that they should be fruitful, they should multiply. And his last answer is that, in fact, actually, the numbers of Levi were reduced because of the anger of Yaakov Avinu, the cast of Yaakov Avinu, and later on Shimon as well, who were also subject to that anger as well. Their population decreases. In fact, it was actually, according to that answer, it was actually a punishment that Shevet Levi had, that their numbers were so much.
So I've always kind of wondered why, going back to, like, you know, the issue around Dinah and whatever, with Shimon and Levi, if there was like a future punishment, how come kind of Levi became like this very mighty tribe effectively, and then Shimon disappeared into insignificance? Like, what changed the level? Like, why Moshe and Aaron I've always struggled with that. Like, all of a sudden, like, he did Shuva and he's like, his tribe deserve all this covered.
Interesting question. You bother about that? Shimon becomes much lower, if you like, than Levi, or is it the fact that there's the fact that Levi is honored?
Both, I guess. Like, right. For me, it's really interesting how, like, each tribe have their own midas, or whatever the concept is, like, that shine through, like, be it kingship or priest or whatever. But seeing as we've drilled down into Shimon and Levi, and maybe there was some sort of punishment for that episode, then how, if that were the case, then why would the tribe of Levi become so successful in another way and be given covered in that way?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Originally, remember that the seventh temple, the base of English, was going to be the Bechorus, was going to be the firstborn.
Can you repeat that? You broke up.
Originally, the service in the temple, the Avoda, was going to be with the first.
Going to be with who?
The Bechor, the firstborn.
Okay, did you hear that, Joshua? I didn't hear it three times.
The third time I heard it. It broke out every time you tried to say it. It was stopping you.
The firstborn, okay. Firstborn.
So Josh would be the Kohen.
Yes.
As a Bechor, I wouldn't be. I'm the second in the family. But Josh would have been the Kohen because he's the Bechor. And it was only taken away from them at the Egel Azav, the golden calf. Now, the tribe that weren't involved with the golden calf was the tribe of Levi. Right?
Yeah, fine, I understand that. But it's almost kind of like, clearly the tribe of Levi were on a higher level because they didn't get caught up in the egoism around Egypt. Therefore, they weren't persecuted. They were learned.
Right.
Clearly on a higher level in terms of whatever, you know what I'm trying to say, not eloquently. So going back to the episode of Dina, like, surely their motivations were the right reasons. Therefore, why should they be punished? I don't know. I'm just kind of struggling with if they're so elevated and so focused.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. So that episode needs to be understood properly in light of who they were, because you're right. Yeah, we see special about them. They're not enslaved like the other tribes and everything. So what's the explanation of the episode of Dina? And I think I'm going to give it the...
Because that's the only way, as far as I know, that's the only place they fell down.
But could that have just been an opportunity for them to be zealous? It was like an adolescent phase where they had the right attitude. They wanted to do the right thing. They just went about it in the wrong way because they were overzealous. They were young. Well, he was young. I guess we're talking single here for the tribe. He didn't know what he was doing at that point, but his intentions were just there.
Right.
Did you see with Yehuda that he did Shuva effectively?
Yeah.
So you see that process, but that's what I've always kind of wondered. Where's the gap? Like, there's just like, okay, he did something very wrong and engaged the wrath of his father so much so that therefore potentially he was punished by Hashem through this infertility or whatever. To then the jump then to becoming...
Right. It's a good question. I'm afraid I'm going to have to say that when we get to the show of Dina, please God, and we learn about Shimon and Levi and Shechem, then we'll have to look into it.
Okay. Can't wait.
It's a good question.
All right. Cheers.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos. Take care.
Have a good Shabbos. Thank you. Bye. Bye.